Sometimes you get like 10K for like a 6 second vine.
I was just doing stand up one night. David was in the audience. Just knew that there was something there for sure. He just goes, Jay, I got it. We're going to bury you in the backyard.
But first, before we go into that, we gotta thank today's sponsor, Creative Juice. Look, if you're a creator, you probably realized, unfortunately, that creating content is only a very small part of your business. Like, there's so many other things that just take up your time that aren't really that fun.
And managing finances, taxes, and expenses can be incredibly overwhelming.
Especially if you're not sure which transactions are business or personal use. Right, Jack?
And that's why Creative Juice is a perfect solution for creators just like you.
Not only do they offer a business banking account with a debit card and rewards, but they also offer automated and personalized tax tools specifically for creators. If you don't know where to begin with taxes, begin with Juice. Now you can categorize your expenses in real time to simplify write-offs for all expense types, like your daily Starbucks.
Juice also offers a 1099 IRS compliant tool that allows you to pay your contractors efficiently.
I do. My favorite part is that you get access to creator-minded CPAs that'll help do your taxes for you. Let Juice automate your business, simplify your taxes, and provide the funding you need to focus on what you enjoy the most, which is creating.
So sign up for a free Creative Juice business banking account with the link down below or visit getjuice.com.
Again, the link is down below in the description, Jack. Now let's get back to the video.
What did you get from Starbucks? What is that?
I get a triple espresso with almond milk every morning.
Every morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like cold brew. It gives me a headache.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like cold brew
Why?
At all.
Why is that?
I think it's something about the way that the way it's pulled out in the cold. It fucks me up. How do you guys feel about energy drinks?
Not a fan.
I feel like they got to be so unhealthy.
They make me kind of sick.
Yeah, it depends what it is. Red Bulls I could kind of see, but I don't like the taste. It has a very citricky taste.
Yeah.
But then you get into like the Monster Energies and that sort of stuff. I don't, or like Rockstar, where you the can where you have to like twist it off the top.
I tell you what's delicious is that Prime Energy drink.
Yeah, Prime Energy
drink. It's delicious, but it like sends you off.
I've had it before. I think it's really sweet. I'm surprised how they got it so sweet, only being like 20 calories.
Yeah,
it makes
it's aspartame, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in it.
So it's the artificial sweetener that has no calories. It tastes really sweet though.
Right.
The downside with that apparently is that if you could control it, it's really good. But it activates something, and I could be totally wrong in this. It activates something that it's like a sweet gland in your brain that makes you more likely to want sweet foods after that.
So that's the danger where if you could just contain
it, it might be okay, but like you'll be craving other sweet things afterwards, and that's kind of where
I could see that.
Where the danger comes in.
That happens with Diet Coke with me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Diet Coke is addicting, man.
Yeah, it's Diet Coke's so good.
It's so good.
Now, I'm curious though, has your caffeine coffee intake and your diet changed recently? Because I saw that you went through this like incredible transformation with fitness.
Oh yeah.
And
you're
like really jacked now, like the six pack.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Do you still have a six pack?
Sort of.
Really?
Yeah, it comes and goes. Depends on like to have a six pack, you have to just really limit your calories. So I have like a 2 and a 4 pack, but then the lower is...
The lower is tough for
it's
me.
It's tough.
Too. Yeah.
You have to really, really watch what you eat. And so that's what I did. I was just really heavy and I was just like, and I just felt awful all the time. And then I just got to be, I'm going to be 50 in May. And I just got to be like, okay, I got to really just try to clean up my life. And so I just started to, I just like slowly got down to like a really specific diet and just eating the same thing every day, or the same types of foods every day. And I'm just much happier that way.
Cool.
You know, it's almost like an alcoholic who's like, yeah, like I would love to have a drink, but you know, my life is way better without alcohol, you know? So I'm just that way with food. So I'll go off. Like I will eat in the middle of the night. I'll sleep eat.
Sleep eating?
Sleep eating is like when you just wake up in the middle of the night and like start eating.
Really?
Yeah.
But doesn't that wake you up though?
Does it wake me up?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm up. I remember it.
Okay.
But I'm still doing it. I'm just like, it's so.
Is there a reason behind why you want food at that time?
Yeah. I just have like an addiction to food like since I was a child. Like just... you just like food is so comforting to me. That's why. So I think that's why. And, you know, it, it sucks because like I was fat as a kid, and yeah, you just gotta like I just keep working on it. It's a struggle. It's every day.
What was the big change for you? Because it was a pretty abrupt shift. It seems from like my perspective.
Well, I'll tell you what a really big thing was my friend Ilya.
Yeah,
he started this like fitness company, and he started to get everybody in shape, and all those guys that I'm friends with, they're just like a lot younger than me. And there was just probably just something in me that was just like, oh, you know, I can do it too, you know?
Yeah.
So when you're like around that and, it makes it fun and it feels good. You get like a endorphin rush. Mm-hmm. And then so it just became a thing like every morning, just going out with Todd and hiking, doing Runyon every morning. And you just become addicted to it. You become addicted to that high. And then... yeah, you just keep working at it. And the more you go into like a workout journey, you can see that you can like, oh wow, I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And it makes you want to just like keep going. And it just feels so good. I've never been happier.
That's really cool.
I really haven't.
What other changes have you noticed because of your current fitness
level? Everything. Sleep better. Like I have sleep apnea. So like when like I have like a lot of like fat around like my neck and stuff, like I don't breathe at night. So I sleep better. I can walk up the stairs better. Your clothes fit. You have more confidence. Like, you know, like if you're just even out at a party and you're just like used to, you know, you feel like, oh, I don't belong here, you know? You know, now you're like, okay, I'm the best version of me that I can be. And that allows you to like not beat yourself up, you know? So, cause normally I can like really spiral down and be like, oh, I'm shit and I'm not funny and I'm not this and I'm not that. And I'm not as, especially like being around, you know, like around what we do, there's like so many fabulous people that you meet all the time, you know, like, and so you feel like, oh, I'm not as funny as them or I'm not as talented as them. So at least I know that like, if I'm keeping myself in shape, I'm the best version physically. And that's one less thing that I won't beat myself up about. Like,
got it.
I'm good. Even coming here today, like I said to my fiance, I was like, oh man, I can't work out, you know, cause I'm going to do the podcast. And she was like, you look great. She's like, don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right.
It's so funny. I would be on your side. I'd be like, no, you gotta work out.
Yeah.
Like, I would honestly, I'd be like, I'd find a way to work out.
Yeah,
man. See, I would be the type to cancel and be like, no, I gotta hit the gym. Like that's a non-negotiable thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you just,
that's tough.
And that's another part of it too, is like you want to go every day and you need that level of commitment to feel good. Go every day.
How do you prevent yourself from falling off of that? Because I know for me, if I don't keep such a disciplined, like output, or consistency with it, I just fall off pretty easily. So I got to be like 100% or zero.
Yeah. 100. You just have to be 100%. I guess there's just like a feeling in my brain now, which is like, if I don't go do it, then I'm like disregarding all the work I've done.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm here today, I'm 172 pounds. But if I don't go to the gym today, then I'm like, I'm going backwards. So I don't want to go backwards.
Are you
going to
go today? After this?
Well, it's kind of rainy. No.
I love how if you correct your fitness, every other facet of your life is basically improved. What I've noticed with my personal life, it's like, I hear so many people saying, you got to grind if you want to become successful and you should go down this avenue if you want to do this and this and this. But if they're not focusing on their health first, I think it makes it so much harder to become motivated to be successful in other facets of life.
Uh-huh.
If you solve this root issue of your personal fitness, everything else good in life will follow suit, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I've been trying to do, is just trying to keep every area of my, just to have balance. And keep every area in check, all my relationships, my working out, my work, my kids, you have to tend to everything. You have to like, it's like a garden, you know. It's like, okay, I'm doing this, and you're feeding this, and you're feeding this, and taking care of this, and I don't know. I definitely like this age the best. This is my best age.
Good
for sure. Yeah, it's the most fun. When I was younger, I would always be like concerned, like, well, wait, where I was, I'd be somewhere and I'd be like, oh, I should be somewhere else or I should be doing something else. But now I've learned to just be like, oh, really good. This is what we're doing right now. Enjoy this. And that's it. You know,
do you think you felt more pressure when you were younger that you had to perform at like the best or you had to be busy or what changed?
Yeah. When you're younger, you just don't know. You're just like, I didn't have like the internet back then.
No.
So there was when you were, as far as a career, it was like more gatekeepery kind of stuff. So you would go to like ABC or Fox and be like, here's my sitcom, and you would pitch it, and then they would say, okay, go write it, and then you would like go write it, and then they would be like, we're not going to pick it up. And so it was just like very, you just felt stuck all the time. And so then when the internet came around and things weren't going great for me in like TV and movies, I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go do this. And it was like really freeing. And then I was able to just like, you know, find some success and really enjoy what I did and enjoy life more. But when you're younger, I just feel like, I mean, I see it now with a lot of my younger friends, like they seem lost in a way, even though they have a lot. But there's certain things that I'm like, I wish I could just tell them, but you can't really tell anybody. You just kind of have to go through
it. Yeah.
But you know what? Hold on to that for a second, because I found it very interesting that in our last podcast episode, 93% of our viewers were male and 87% were over the age of 25.
Which is exactly why we're excited to thank our sponsor, Roman. Roman offers science-backed treatments that are proven to either slow or completely stop hair loss.
Or in some cases, even regrow it. Let's be real, losing your hair could really take a toll on your confidence.
And trust me, I know a thing or two about low confidence.
But up to 70% of men who used minoxidil treatment reported increased hair growth after just 4 months.
Roman can help you get the treatment you need to fight back against balding, and the best part is that you can do it completely from your phone without waiting in line at the pharmacy or driving to your doctor's office.
Roman offers prescription strength oral treatments as well as topical options so you can get the medication that's right for you.
Plus, Roman offers fast free shipping in discreet packaging so you can get started without anyone knowing. Don't let hair loss take away your confidence. Get more confidence from the top down with Roman.
Visit the link down below in the description today to get your first treatment for free.
Or you guys can go to ro.co/iced coffee hour to get started completely free. Thank you so much, Roman, and let's get back to the podcast. So let's talk about your story from being a kid growing up, because you have a really interesting story and so many different pivots in your career that led you to where you are right now. Yeah. Can you talk about like growing up and then all the events that occurred to bring you here?
I grew up in Boston in a suburb. Mom and dad, great mom and dad. Parents got divorced. Got a sister. Was like overweight as a kid, but you know, and I had friends and stuff, which was cool. I grew up with a lot of meatheads, a lot of like Boston people that like fought and were tough, and I was never tough.
You wouldn't fight?
No, never.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, if everyone else is fighting, like what kept
if everyone
you
else jumps off a cliff?
It's like antithetical to like how I thought. I was like, this is so silly. Like, what are you guys fighting over? You know, there'd be like keg parties and like big brawls, and I'd be like standing there.
You'd
like,
be watching?
Yeah. I was pretty clear with them. I'm like, they were my friends, but I'm like, I'm not going to fight. Like, this is so dumb. And, you know, I don't know. It just like that whole mentality of, you know, being a guy and like fighting and stuff. It just never, my father always wanted me to play football. I just didn't want to. I was like, I'm not going to go out there and get hit. Are you crazy?
What was it in insane. You that made you that way? Like,
I'm a pussy.
All right.
I don't think that's, you know, you could be a pacifist. You could be not about fighting. You know, you don't want to harm people. Like,
I mean,
there
I
are,
know.
You know, good sides to the token.
It just felt so dumb. I mean, I guess in a way, like I was a bit of a, I felt like I was above it.
Sure. Okay. That's probably a good thing. Like, as long as you weren't fighting.
I'm being honest, but I probably felt like I was a little snobby. Like, honestly, like, is this what we're doing, guys? Because I was into comedy and stuff. I was into like Saturday Night Live, and I was into like comic books and like just any kind of comedy movie and stuff like that. And then, but no one, I had a lot of comedy albums, and I would show my friends. I'd be like, oh my God, this is Eddie Murphy raw, you know? And they'd be like, yeah, it's funny, I guess. So it's just, there was just kind of like a, and that was the great thing about moving to LA and stuff. It's like you met people that like, you were like, if you were like a comedy nerd here, you were like celebrated. Like there was like so many people that were like into that kind of thing. Or when I moved to LA, people would be like, you know, just the idea of like going to see a stand-up comedian live was like, oh wow, like that's awesome. Yeah. Like you guys like to do that? Like that's great. So that was really cool to find that. I mean, my favorite thing that I've done in the last couple of years, other than be with my kids, is just go see, we saw Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's cool.
Like it was just, you know, when you go to a concert and you're like, it's good.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of in and out and you're like, I don't really like this song. Like, oh, I like this song. The song
that's happened.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Dave Chappelle's like every minute. Really? And I was just like,
that's cool.
So, yeah.
What was that like moving to LA? Like, what prompted
hold on, we
that?
We got
to
finish the story.
Okay.
All
right.
Here,
okay. Now we're at the LA part.
So you're in high school. You're not fighting people.
No.
You like comedy.
No, I played a little basketball, but it wasn't good. And I was on the team, and they would never let me shoot the ball. They would just let me rebound. And yeah, then I just went to college, made some really good college friends. And then I was in college and I got I applied for an internship at Saturday Night Live and went down to, my mother drove me from Boston to New York. And then I met on Dateline and I met on Saturday Night Live. And I went to Saturday Night Live. I wore like a 3-piece suit. I remember my mom like bought me a suit at Marshall's. And I walked in to Saturday Night Live and I was like, oh, like no one wears a 3-piece suit. So I look like a total dork. Cause it's like, it's Saturday Night Live. It's like, yeah. It was like, born on like counterculture. Like, you know, people were just walking around and like, you know, sneakers or whatever. But then they gave me the internship and then I worked there. Then I worked for Norm Macdonald.
That is so
cool. Yeah. That was the best.
What were you doing for Norm?
I was just, like it's just his assistant, just faxing jokes. Wow. Literally
that
faxing.
So,
like taking
the cool.
When they would do update, they'd have like lots of people send in jokes. So mm-hmm. Just organizing the jokes and then watching him, he would go through them, he had like a cigarette in his mouth and yeah, so that was fun. I did that and then I started performing when I was like 23. Started doing like stand up and characters and did a little UCB.
What were your characters?
I used to do a guy called The Shaman. That was a Jim Morrison, a guy that was in a Jim Morrison cover band.
Okay.
I did a lot of, I used to do my girlfriend who was like really emotional. I don't know. I did all kinds of dumb characters. But yeah. And then, I moved to LA, did stand up, tried to act, made a couple movies. And then when I was in, I was just doing stand up one night at the Improv, and David was in the audience, and then he talked to me after, and he's like, oh, you should come to YouTube. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh yeah. I mean, it's like, just knew that there was something there for sure. It sounded so fun.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember I was kind of like, oh, I can't go. I was like 43 at the time, I think. And I was like, I can't do YouTube. I'm like 43. And he was like, oh, why not? Like, just go do it. And I really, really owe him my life. He was like, so great. Cause I remember he said to me, he was like, oh, well, how much money do you need to make a month? And I was like, well, you'll like this. You like to talk about money.
Here we go.
And he goes, I remember I was in his car and we'd been working together for a couple of weeks. Like he kept calling me every day cause he was posting a lot. He's posting like 3 times a week. And he was like, he just needed a lot of content. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll go. I was having a lot of fun. He's like, well, how much money do you need to make a month? And I was like, I need like $5,000 a month, which I thought was insane. And he was like,
you had two kids at that point.
Yeah,
too,
I had two
right?
kids. Yeah. And I was completely broke. And he was like, he's like, oh, you can make $5,000 a month. And I was like, what? I was like, no way. And he was like, yeah, just like start a channel. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. And so then like I made like a very, very bad first YouTube video with him. And then maybe like 4 months later, I was making like $35,000 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, before that though,
I called my ex-wife and I was like, she's like, I need money for something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, oh, I got it. No problem. She's like, well, what? How? And I was like, oh, I'm making like $35,000 a month. And there was just like a long silence on the end of the phone. And she was like, what? And it felt so good. So yeah.
Oh my God.
It was crazy, crazy, crazy.
Now, what about before that though? Weren't you doing Vine, or was that at the same time?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I did Vine for a couple years, and I did okay on Vine. I was making like, I probably make like, 1 year I made like $250,000, $300,000.
Through what? Sponsors and stuff like
sponsors.
That?
Through sponsors. So you'd get like, you'd be surprised. Sometimes you get like 10K for like a 6 second Vine. Which jeez. This is insane.
But
right?
What year was that? Because this is like at the very beginning of where like all of this was taken off.
I know exactly when it was. Yeah. I started with YouTube the end of 2017.
Okay.
And Vine, this must have been like probably my best year on Vine was maybe 2015 or 2016.
Wow.
But then it all crashed. Like I've had so many ups and downs. Like literally I had 3 million on Vine and things were going great.
Yeah.
And off that Vine success, someone gave me a movie. I wrote a movie and they funded it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then the movie took like a really long time to make and to come out and blah, 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 blah. And then the day the movie came out, Vine was erased. So
what was that like for you when Vine just like disappeared?
Yeah, I sold 6 copies of the movie and Vine was gone on the same day. So then I was like, oh no. I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. So then I started installing speakers at speaker conventions. I would like set up things. And then I was like, all right, I'll just... And that was like a month where I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then right after that, I met David doing stand-up. And
wow.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was just like, you know, that's something I always tell people too, is like, I was at my lowest. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to go do stand-up. I was like, that always makes me feel better. I love that. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, if I hadn't gone and done stand-up that night, like I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys, you know?
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What drew you to David at that point? Because didn't he just start the channel then? So
doing really good before I started with him. He already had like 3 million.
Okay.
Something like that. And he was getting like really good views. And I would watch them because I knew about him. It was really funny. The day that I met him, I had been watching his vlogs that day. Mm. And I was like, oh, I was like, because I knew him a little bit from Vine. And I was like, good for him. I was like, he figured something out and it's like completely original. I thought, and it's all his friends, and his friends are funny, and he did, you know, and I was like, he figured it out. Good for him. Because he was always really funny.
Yeah.
And then that night I met him. Like there's been a lot of weird like that in my life, that just weird kismet, right place, right time.
Yeah.
And so much of it is just like, you gotta like keep, it's just goes back to even like the working out thing. You gotta just keep showing up.
Sure.
You gotta just keep going and just keep trying and hopefully like you're prepared when something breaks.
I really appreciate it. And I think it's really nice for you to think that you like owe David your life or whatever you said earlier. But at the same time, so I was a pretty avid viewer of David's videos, like ever since the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought you had honestly an irreplaceable role. I thought you were, let's say like a table can't, well, I guess it can stand on 3 legs, but it wouldn't be very stable at all. You know,
that's nice of you to say.
I really think you were one of the most important aspects of David's videos. And I really don't think he could have done what he did without his friends at all.
Definitely not without his friends, but I'll counter that and say that he's a master of just, he can pull in what he needs for the video. So if it wasn't me, David would have found something else that was just as funny. Because he won't post anything until it's amazing.
Yeah.
But if he's that great, then he picked you for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Because you were really good.
The thing that I loved the thing that I really love most about David is just that we had the same sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, 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 really nice to just know that like whatever he said, I was going to think was funny, and whatever I said, he was going to think was funny. And to like mesh like that with somebody, even though he's like 20 years younger than me, was really cool. Like that's the best creative partnership I've had.
That's awesome.
Him and Brandon Calvillo is really fun. Like Brandon always has like really great Instagram sketches that he'll like bring to me, and he'll be like, "Will you be in this?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, that's really funny." So,
but I think you deserve a lot of credit.
Oh, thank you. That's nice
for his videos.
Yeah, I don't think of it that way. That's the comic in me. Like, you never think you're funny for long. You know, like, you know when you like tell a joke and like you like people laugh.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, it's over. You know, you have that. You have that second.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
then it's ending.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, what's the next thing?
What's your process for coming up with jokes? Like, how do you do that?
For jokes? I don't know. You mean like when we do the roast and stuff?
Yeah. Or anything like when it comes to comedy, like what's the creative process look like? Like how do you decide whether or not something's going to be funny, or how do you test it out?
It's usually like an area. When you're like talking to somebody and you're like, oh, that'd be a funny stand-up joke, or that'd be funny for a video. You just tell people. You tell people the idea, and if they laugh, then you're like, okay, there's something there. I'm trying to think of something that I was working on. Oh, I was working on this idea the other day. Like we take this yoga class, and the girl's a great teacher. She's really good, and she's really like, she's very zen. Like yoga's supposed to be really zen, but she's also like pretty pissed off at everybody. So like we were just saying, like she'll come in and she'll be like, "How you guys?" She goes, "How's everybody doing today?" And like no one will answer, and she'll be like, "Okay, I'll just go fuck myself." You know, like so it's just that.
Yeah.
So there's something funny there, I think.
It's
about
a dichotomy.
Like, a dichotomy of a yoga teacher that's supposed to be super zen that's like pretty pissed off that like no one's paying attention, you know.
Your career was a lot more tumultuous than you made out. Like you have some pretty interesting pivots. There was a time I was a kid, I was tuning into my favorite show.
Yeah.
Drake and Josh.
Oh, Drake and Josh. Ooh, I love that show.
And you were in Drake and Josh.
That's such a funny thing because you guys your age see it that way. Like, whoa, he had a line in Drake and Josh. But I saw it as like, I was like broke. And I had a friend who was a writer on the show, and he was like, "Oh, let me see if I can get you some money. Come in, you can come today and have one line and make, I don't know, $500?
$500 for one line?
Yeah, it's something like that. Or maybe it was like, you know, like 600. So yeah, and so you just go and you're just like, I had a lot of jobs like that. You just go and you like sit there, then you go in and do the one line, and you're in very like, very low status there because the stars are there. And I don't really enjoy like sitting on a set that much. I really like creating and doing YouTube. And
I thought
stand-up.
That was the coolest thing because I grew up with you too. in high school, right? Like I grew up watching like your vines and everything, and I saw you on David's vlogs and everything, and then come to realize that was you in the famous Drake and Josh scene. I'm like, well, I grew up with him apparently a lot longer than I thought.
No, you're just like totally embarrassed when you're doing it. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here this
long. I love it, man.
It's funny because everyone else who sees that thinks it's the coolest thing.
They think it's cool. Yeah. And then you're just like, I gotta get home.
Yo, that's the guy from Drake and Josh.
Have you ever been recognized as the person from Drake and Josh and not from TikTok or Vine?
No, YouTube? No, never. No one's ever been like Drake and Josh.
You're not the best scene ever. No, it's never happened.
They've mentioned Drake and Josh only because I think they made a big deal out about it in the vlogs. But like, I remember, I think like David put it in the vlog or something. So people will say it like Drake and Josh, like you. But it was just a job that day. And I remember the guy, they threw a cake and the cake crashed and we were like done. And then they said, oh, no. They throw a cake on somebody, on a woman, and she gets covered in cake. And apparently they didn't get the shot. So the woman had to go back, take off all her, you know, do her makeup all over again, and then redo the cake. And I was just like, ugh.
Do you get residuals for that? Or is it like $500 one-time thing?
Drake and Josh, do I still get residuals? Yes. Yeah. Wow. And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
When things were... when David's vlogs were on, and those checks were bigger. It was really weird. When Josh came into the vlogs, there was like a spike in interest in Drake and Josh. And
I could see that.
So then those residual checks that were like $7, they would be like $200.
$200?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
It's really weird.
So how much do you think you've made in totality from your, what was it like?
From acting?
From your 15-second clip in Drake and Josh, or however long it was.
No, I probably made like, $3,000.
$3,000. That's a great day.
Yeah, it's pretty good over the years. It's nice. They take care of you after.
Wow.
That's the, what is it?
It's the processor.
It's the acting guild. Yeah. SAG after.
And I got another question about Norm Macdonald, because I'm a huge fan of Norm. I don't know if it's sacrilegious for you to say this, but like, was he the same all the time? Was he always that kind of like aloof type? Like,
yeah, he was like a real loner. He was like a real, I think when he went and did like stand up in like so many places and so many weird places, and that he was like, he became very, what's the word? Solitary. Like he just didn't need anyone else because he just was so funny. And so when I knew him, he was great. He was really nice to me and he took me everywhere. But he definitely had like an attitude like, I don't need anyone, and which
he like, was low, that good.
Yeah, he was that good. Yeah. So it was a very like lone wolf kind of guy. But he was also really fun. He would gamble and he would love to like play soccer in the hallways, and he loved to play basketball, even though he wasn't like that athletic. My best Norm story is we all went out one night, and I was really young. I was like 21, whatever, and I ended up going home with this girl. And then the next day, I came in to Norm because I was like really new to the city, like living in New York. I didn't really know, and I turned to him and I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "This girl, she put cocaine on my cock last night."
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I said, "I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anyone." Okay. And he goes, yeah, I won't tell anyone. You know what I mean?
that's so good.
And I go, "She put cocaine on my cock." And he was like, "Oh my God." He's like, "That's insane." And then like 5 minutes later, like the UPS guy came in with like a bunch of packages for him. And he was like, "Hey, Norm." And he was like, "Hey, Jerry. This is Jason, the intern." No. He's like, "The guy likes cocaine on his cock." I was like mortified. And then he did that for like the next, 3 months. He would you'd be in a high pressure situation.
Yeah.
You'd be like maybe handing him jokes or something. And right before he'd about to go on, and he would like turn to the page and be like, "Hey, you know Jason likes cocaine on his cock?"
Dude, that impression is spot on.
That's really,
a lot
really
of
good.
People can do a Norm. It's pretty easy to do. But
really? I couldn't do it. I'm not even going to try. I can't even do it.
Yeah, he was the best. He was like, you learned so much from him. And I don't know. He's just the funniest. And then as the years went on, just watching him like do all his stand-up sets and stuff and watch his specials. Yeah. I still watch it. I watch his talk show appearances all the time.
Really?
Like him on Conan.
Yeah.
They're
incredible.
They're epic. Like talk show appearances, I don't think a lot of people realize like a lot goes into those. Like those are comedic sets that they've crafted. They're not stand up. They're not doing their stand up act. They're crafting something completely new, to do right there. And I'm always like really interested in that.
Yeah, on like a nightly basis too. There's a lot of content that goes in on.
Yeah, well, Norm would be on Conan or Letterman like maybe, I don't know. Maybe three times a year, something like that. But still, they're fun to watch if you go back and watch them. And I guess that was what gave him a real resurgence was because he wasn't on TV anymore. But what was really giving him this resurgence was these YouTube clips of him on Conan. And that would like fill the seats and stuff. That was what I heard him say, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they are great. They're spectacular. And his last Letterman set is spectacular.
I got a question about edginess in comedy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How does Norm get away with saying the things that he said? Like, why? Because a lot of people, they pick and choose their villains. And I feel like Norm was just one person. Everybody was like, we're just going to let him say whatever he wants to say. He's a harmless dude.
He would do this really cool thing, really smart thing, which was he would, towards later in his career, I would watch him, he would kind of blame it on someone else. You know what I mean? He had this, he has this talk show on YouTube. It's like called the, it's a podcast called the Norm Macdonald Podcast. I can't remember what it's called, but it's really good. It's so good. And at the end of the show, they would read jokes and he would read these the most offensive jokes and the guests would be like, oh my God, that's so offensive. And he's like, oh my God, who wrote this? You know, like, so he would, but he wrote it.
Yeah.
You know, so he would, he found ways to like pass it off or, yeah, he just got around it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Do you feel like people have become softer now for comedy? Like they have to be a little bit more PC and a little bit more like appropriate for all ages. I feel like people have gotten a little bit more, you know, sensitized to comedy right now. Like when you watch Eddie Murphy back in like the 80s and 90s, it's total like you can't say a lot of that stuff today.
It's so, it's so tough to say. Like, I know that there's an audience for it. Like when you go and you like see like live stand up and you see somebody be go really out there like Bill Burr or like Tom Segura, somebody like that, like there's a, they love it. They love it. People love the idea of going into a comedy club and like hearing something that even more so now, because they're like, oh wow, now we can like, we're in this place where we can really say anything. But I have noticed that like, you know, my younger friends, like, yeah, there's a softness that's there. And you know, you just, I just try to, I kind of like walk the balance. I'm like, okay, like I understand, you know, you want to be, that's, you don't think that's funny, but some people think this is funny. So yeah, it's tough. And YouTube is different than stand up and is different than podcasting. And they're all just so different. You know, there's stuff you can, because you have the comments. So if you want to say something that's like really insane on your podcast, it could blow up in your face. But in stand up, you know, that's what they're there to do. They're there to really go out there and
yeah, I think with stand up too right now, it's easy to take clips without any context whatsoever. You take like a 60-second clip, put it up, and so it's like, oh, what they said, what?
Yeah. You know, I hate doing TikToks. Like we did a video yesterday. It was like another workout video, and Dave Portnoy had talked about me on his show, BFFs. And the first time he talked about me was when I was heavier and he was like, the guy looks old, he looks gross. And which I thought was funny. I was like, oh, that's cool. I don't care. They're talking about me. I do look gross. He said I look like a mother or whatever. And he was doing this whole bit where he was like, I look way better than this guy, you know?
And it's a good impression.
Which he does.
Yeah.
How do you do that, man?
And that's then he goes, and then maybe like a year later I got in shape and they pulled my pictures up again and they were like, Dave was like, I think he looks weird. I think he said I look weird. I think it looks strange. A guy that old is all. and so like me and my friends were dying. We were like, and Josh Richards was like, I think he looks good, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Josh. And so they were kind of talking about it. And so I thought it was funny, but that I was also kind of like, yo, that's fucked up. And that he talked about me twice in a negative light after I did all this work. So then in the video, which we put out yesterday, I do this roast of him and the roast is pretty good. Like, you know, we wrote it and it's good roast and the people like the video, whatever. But then like this morning we had to put out a TikTok like of the roast, but like, I didn't really want to put that TikTok out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Doing context.
Yeah. Because someone's going to go and just see that and be like, oh fuck, Jason Nash hates Dave Portnoy. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't love the internet in that regard. I try to stay away from stuff like that, but because I love Dave Portnoy and I'm not trying to, and I don't like any kind of internet beef or anything like that. Like I think it's really stupid and I think it makes people look really dumb. And you just drown each other out, you know? But yeah, so I don't like clipping things and taking things out of context, like you said.
Yeah, I get that. I think too, I've had a few clips taken of me where it's like completely out of context. You can make anything appear however you want it to appear, basically, with clips.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you could also do it in a right way too, of getting the right message across in 60 seconds where you could do the roast and like get a few good jokes in there, but add context in the beginning.
Yes. And add context in the beginning. Yeah. Which we did in one of the TikToks, but in one of them we didn't. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about this YouTube journey because
let's do it.
You know, you were making 250K on Vine.
Yeah.
You went to making nothing. Or I shouldn't say nothing, just an honest
Nothing, because it was dead. It was gone. Mm.
It was dead and gone. And then after that, you went to installing speakers, making just a modest living.
Yep.
I'm sure doing that.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, this whole David thing happens. He sees you at an improv bar. 3 months later, you're making 35K a month.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, four or five months later.
Where'd you go from there?
I listened to Howard Stern, and I remember that there was a guy on there who was his side guy. His name was Jackie Martling. And I remember listening to Howard and being like, and Jackie left the show. And Howard was always like, Jackie left. He had such a good thing, you know? So that always stuck with me. Like, so when I met David, I always thought like, oh, wow, I have such a good thing here. Like, you know, like, I love hanging out with them. I love being with them. I love making the videos. So from there, I just was like, this is like a once in a lifetime lightning in a bottle situation that won't be around forever, you know? So I'll do this for the next few years, you know? And he was so focused on it and stuff. And I really needed to, you know, pay for my kids and stuff in my life. So I was really focused on it. So I wasn't into partying, and he didn't drink either. So we were just every day just trying to make that vlog. And you know, the truth of it was, is that his vlog did so well that that's why my vlogs did well, you know? So I didn't put so much effort into my vlogs. I would just kind of slice of life, my lifestyle stuff. And then I put a lot of the focus on his vlog, because that seemed to be like that was the thing that was
feeding
everything. So I looked at it as being on like a TV show a little bit. Like, if that TV show is doing well, then I can go do anything. I can go do stand up. I can sell tickets. I can sell merch.
This might sound stupid, but people on his vlogs, were they ever paid to be on the vlogs, or was it more so you get to appear, but we'll draw in such a big audience that'll trickle over to everything?
None of the friends were ever paid. And there were people that were paid to, there's things you would have to pay for, like if you hired like an actor for something, you know, maybe we would pay them, or David would pay them. But no, they were never paid. But also David never, I know some people that take a cut, and David never took money from anybody. Mm. And he certainly could have asked for that, you know? So I always felt like it was quite the fair trade to go and film with him for, you know, a couple times a week, and suddenly have like a huge Instagram, to have a big Snapchat. I thought it was a pretty fair trade, you know?
Yeah.
And then what did a day look like, a day of filming for you? Let's say like David's like,
with
yo,
Dave?
let's go shoot something. What time are you up? Like,
so fun.
What? Yeah.
So fun. The most fun I've ever had in my life. Like, just so incredibly fun. Like, it would be like, I mean, the most fun was when he would be like editing on, he would post Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he would post like Wednesday at 5 o'clock. He'd be like, he would be editing it like up to the wire, and then my vlog would like already be out. And then my man would post it.
Your views would die.
What's that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say your views would die.
No. Your views go higher.
All of your viewers are just going straight to David.
It's the reverse. No, but he would post it, and I would be around the corner at my computer, and I would just want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I would like turn on his vlog, and I would be at my computer. He's in the other room, and I would like start watching it, and I'd be 30 seconds into the vlog, and he'd be in his jacket, black baseball hat, camera in his hand, and he'd be like, let's go. And I'd be like, oh man, okay. And then we'd go out, and
so there's no downtime.
No downtime.
The moment.
So fun.
But doesn't he track the performance of each video and just see like how it's doing in relation to the other
videos?
He'll
sit on his phone and look at it
and
like make me look at the comments or whatever. And he would definitely track
that
it.
That work ethic though is incredible. I remember he came to a party that I was at. This must have been 2018, something like that.
Yeah.
He showed up with his camera, and I think you were not there, but there were two other people with him. And he kind of looks around, and then he leaves. Yeah. And I was talking to someone there, and I said, why did he just leave? Like, he walked in and left within a minute.
Yeah.
I said, well, there's probably no content. Like, he needs content right now.
And
he would go everywhere to scout for, like, what's going to make the best story and what's going to be, like, interesting to film. And if it's not there, like, he's not just there to socialize. Like, he wants something that he wants to put a piece together that he's really happy with.
Yeah, I think that's just time reasons. He just needed to get it. We just needed to get it out. Like, three videos a week. There's just no
I didn't
time
realize it was three a week. For some reason, I was thinking it was once a week. But
yeah, so, like if you post eventually. Monday at 5 o'clock and you're trying to post Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
And you have really...
So now you have Monday night, Tuesday... And then you have to edit all day on Wednesday, and you're out late Tuesday night. So you're waking up at 11. Well, I'm not because I'm taking my kids to school, but he's waking up at 11, and then he's going to edit all day. So you really just have like Monday night, Tuesday to try to put together something funny and something. It's so hard.
What was the idea creation like?
You know, like anything. We would just take anything from anywhere. And it seemed that the best ideas were the ones that were like just based in reality, you know, like sketches didn't really work. Mm. We tried to do some sketches. They weren't funny. And just like, and it, we really would take from anything that we could think of, or good ideas were pretty hard to come by. Like towards the end, it was just like, I remember he had a really, really crazy idea once. He was just staring. Staring out the back of his house, the sliding glass doors, and his back was to me. And he just goes, "Jay, I got it. We're gonna bury you in the backyard." which makes you feel all kinds of ways. Like the first way is like literally the first thing I thought was, "Damn, that's good," and the second thing I thought was, "Oh God, I gotta get buried." So then,
was that before or after Mr. Beast got buried alive? Because I think that would have been before. So he came up with the idea before Mr. Beast.
I think so. Well, the way we did it was way different than Mr. Beast either way. It's a different idea. I'm buried and there's something over my head. And then you pull up and everybody goes, holy shit, there's somebody buried in the ground. Mr. Beast is like really a testament to Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, like his fortitude.
That's funny.
But that was good. That was a great bit, but. And I was fine, but then after being buried underground for a while, the weight of the soil really gets to you. So that was really, I was like having them dig me out.
Isn't it hard to breathe? I've been buried in sand before, and like you do feel that pressure of just like you can't move and you're stuck.
No, I was okay. I was okay. It's just, it just got heavy after a while. And then Vardon started to dig me out, but he wasn't good with a shovel. So he was like hitting me. He's like, I'll come get you, Jason. He's like, I'll save you.
That's pretty good.
His voice is different now.
Yeah, now it's deeper.
His voice is lower now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you ever part of a really demanding bit? Like something that took a lot out of you?
Demanding?
Yeah, demanding. Like it just required a lot of you. Like you was like, oh, we're going to go fly over here, shoot this thing. You got to do this, Jason. And you do it all and it's just like unused.
Yeah, there's lots of bits that you like would try that that didn't work. It get unused. There's so many.
What sticks out to you as one of them?
I mean, maybe like getting shot with a paintball gun and it doesn't make it. Something like that. It's like kind of painful. But I'm pretty good with pain. Like, honestly, the hardest stuff is like flying somewhere in it's 8 o'clock, and he's like, oh, we're gonna go see Mr. Beast in the morning. We're taking an 11 o'clock flight to North Carolina. We're driving 2 hours to see Mr. Beast, and then we're flying home that night. That's honestly the hardest because I just like
you got a family and everything.
I got a family, and I can't sit on a plane, and I was a lot heavier then. And like your back, I'm old, so like your back like hurts on a plane, and I don't know.
Yeah,
that's probably the hardest.
A trip you went on with your ex, and you went to Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, a great bit.
Enjoying your time island. You know, it's a lovely place, I'm sure. You're having a nice, relaxing time. And then someone shows up and shoots you with a paintball gun, right?
Yeah. That was awesome.
What was going through your head on that? Because you weren't actually expecting that to happen, right?
I think he took me to the airport and he was like, if I, how did it go? Oh, I, Do you remember? I don't remember.
I think it was something like,
I'm going to come to Hawaii and shoot you with a paintball gun.
Would you be fine with that if I showed up in Hawaii? Or maybe she wanted to see him or something like that. Or I don't remember what it was, but like, if I showed up, would you be fine with that? And you offhandedly said, yeah, because you didn't think he would actually do it.
Yeah. I would always say yes to stuff for the possibility that it could happen. It's the same thing with the marriage thing.
Yeah.
I remember I was in the hotel and I got a phone call like, hey, we want to send a gift basket. Oh, I know what it was. He said, we want to send a gift basket. What room are you in? Someone random called me.
Yeah.
And right then I was like, like, no one's sending me a gift basket.
No one's at this hotel.
In Hawaii. And so then I was just like, somehow I... Oh, he didn't know where I was. He didn't know what hotel I was at. He just knew I was, he hacked my, I know how he did it.
Yeah.
He hacked my Snapchat and found my location. Mm. That was what was so great about it. I can't believe I don't remember this. But yeah, he hacked my Snapchat somehow, found my location, knew I was at this hotel. Now he needed the room number. He needed the exact room number. So then he had someone call, I have a gift basket, and I say 688. And then as soon as I said 688, I was like, oh no. And then I heard a knock at the door. Yeah.
And that was it. The writing was on the wall.
Yeah, great bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really awesome. What's great about those bits too is they weren't faked.
Yeah.
You know, they're not faked at all. I mean, there's things that maybe if like someone said, if we're filming and you said a line that was like really funny, but the camera wasn't on. Like we would redo lines and stuff, but none of those pranks are like, that's 100% real. Like when Jonah got the movie deal, when Brandon thought there was an earthquake, when they got me on Hollywood Boulevard, there was a bunch of guys dressed in Elmo that started like chasing me. That was all real. Like they got me. So all that stuff's real, which is cool.
How many times do you shoot down ideas though? Where just like, hey, I'm not down for that. Is there anything that you just like put your foot down on?
Yeah, there's stuff that you just like say no about. You're just like, that's not gonna be. I don't want to do that. And you just say no. That's it, you know. And then I would pitch him lots of ideas that he would say no to, that he just didn't think were funny. Because he was the ultimate. Yeah. He would be the ultimate decider in the end.
My favorite video, I have to say, is a Tesla video where you jumped it on that one.
That was a recent one.
Oh, yeah.
That was my personal favorite video.
Oh, yeah,
that was
funny.
And then I saw all the copycats afterwards and that one car. Do you see that?
I saw that. Oh, yeah. A lot of copycats.
Yeah.
You saw that one, right?
Yeah,
where you got like
crashed.
10 feet in the air. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he ate it. Like the car crashed in another car.
Gosh. Yeah. I think after that, they put like a police car there for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. Did they? Yeah, it's a crazy slope. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's just an insane, you know, California is so funny. The people that haven't been here don't understand. It's just mountains and the way that the street goes up. The street basically just goes up and down. And, but yeah, that wasn't David driving the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was good. That was a good one. There's lots of them. You can go on and on about them. They're it was really the most fun I ever had.
And then you had a podcast with him as well. You guys had the Views podcast.
We had Views,
and that was going on for a long time. Like
it was
you guys
doing
were
great.
Early
yeah.
in the podcast.
Great guests.
Too. Yeah, with fantastic guests.
Yeah.
But what was interesting to me was that like I noticed you guys created the podcast and then all of the sudden everybody else started creating them. And I will say this much, I've never said this before. Views podcast was a huge motivator and it inspired me to ideate the iced coffee.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, it was.
That's awesome.
I thought we started around the same, was it around the same time?
No, because I would go on the runs in Santa Monica and I would listen to Views podcast.
Really?
Yep. And I just thought it was so fun that you guys were just hanging out with your friends and just like,
yeah.
You know, talking shop.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so I was like, having a podcast sounds kind of fun. And I feel like podcasts are great because the audience connects with people on a different level.
It's a deeper level.
And I felt really connected to you guys. Sure, the vlogs, because I felt like I was getting an inside look to your guys' lives and everything, but sure, it was a little bit more staged. And then the, not staged, but like premeditated.
Premeditated.
But the podcast podcast was so raw and so genuine, and it also validated a lot of the conceptions that I had from the vlog.
Yeah.
And it really made me feel like I knew you guys. And from that point, I was like, Graham needs to connect more with his audience. I think he and I have some pretty funny banter.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be fun to have a podcast.
That's great. The thing about the podcast that I like so much was that he was making the vlog at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there was, as hard as it was to do a podcast too, because there's just one more thing we had to do, but there was so much to talk about. It was so great. Like, it was just so easy. You could be like, they saw the video that day of whoever he was with. Let's say he was with like Justin Bieber that day. And then that night he could say, like, he could tell you a little bit more about what happened when he shot it. Or so I love that. I mean, it was really, really fun to do. I don't think we'll ever do it again.
Why is that?
I don't want to speak for him, but he just doesn't like doing it.
He doesn't like doing it.
He's just not into it.
That's totally fine.
He's just not into it. Like, I, you know.
It's fair. I honestly did prefer it in the old, like I would just do the audio anyways.
Well, yeah, we did too.
Once you release the video.
We did too.
I would just like consume it with just the audio. And then once you guys switched to the video and then had like the super nice set, which I liked in the beginning, but then I honestly preferred it where it was just like all you guys.
Yeah.
That was me too. For me, yeah. That was my favorite. That was what most people like.
Wasn't that the couch? Was it the couch?
Well, no. We did some video episodes on his couch.
Yeah,
you tried a couple video episodes.
Yeah. They didn't, and they were great, but he didn't like how it looked.
It's just another logistical challenge as well. Yeah. Whereas recording audio is just very much simpler.
Yeah. And I respect David for that. Like, he just doesn't want it. He's like, I don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, like, he just told me and that's it. And
I still thought, man, it was fun. Part of me was hoping it would come back. Someday.
I know. I would love to do it. I just think we're all like, they're all getting older, you know, and they just don't have the need to do it. There's not as much to talk about.
I think you make things to talk about.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm sure your life is still just as exciting as it was during the other times. In different capacities. You just have to look for it.
Yeah, there's just less funny stuff going on. And that was probably what was interesting about the podcast.
Hmm.
You know, it was just like, there was so many funny things that were happening. And now we're just kind of like, let's hang out. Go to the movies. Yeah.
The end of the podcast, was it something that kind of just phased out? Or was it a conversation that happened where it was like, yeah, we're going to stop this.
Yeah. It was just like, as it was going on, we could just kind of see like, oh, it just wasn't the same.
And how do you justify it?
People grow, people change, you know, like he's a young guy. He's 26, I think. So, you know, he's just like, people change.
I'm sure Graham is thinking this. What? How do you justify stopping something that's probably extremely lucrative?
Yeah.
And seemingly a net benefit on all capacities, right?
Yeah,
like
it
helps like keep the fan base like excited to hear more about you and your engagement up, and you're putting more content out there. It's probably making good money. How do you justify just stopping something like that?
Dave, you want to take this one? No, I don't know. Well, like money isn't everything, right? And also, if you have a commitment to like a certain level of quality and you can't meet that quality, then you have to stop. And I'm sure you guys will do this podcast for a set amount of time. And that's everything in life. Everything in life is a set amount of time. Nothing lasts forever. At one point you guys will go, yeah, why don't we break? You're going to do the podcast for more than 10 years? This one?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah. In my mind, I think automatically 5 to 10 years, just like right off the bat. Like
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And so I think that we reached a point where the quality was not where we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys might, you know, I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought. I wish it was still going. I really do, but it's not.
I have a deep level of respect for the content you guys put out, because every single thing was a banger. Every video, every clip, every podcast, everything was so good.
And I think that's why he stopped.
Because he felt the value was declining.
If he wasn't going to put out a banger, then he's not going
to
do it.
That's the thing. And I would say that has been... I was very impressionable to that.
Yeah.
And I still feel similarly. Graham and I have this debate every once in a while where I'm like, if we don't have a good episode to post on a Sunday, I don't want to post it.
Right.
I want to make sure everything we put out there, people, like, we are giving so many reasons for people to watch this content.
That's great.
It's educational. It's entertaining. Yep. It is like maximum value possible in every measurable way.
Uh-huh.
Like, I am very much the type, I want everything to be perfect. And Graham is like, we got to keep up with the schedule.
Yep.
If we post on, like, people are expecting us to post on Sunday.
Very much, you need both.
Yeah. I agree.
You definitely need both.
I think.
You're David and you're me. I was kind of like, Dave, we got to post. We got to do the pod this week. We got ads. And he'd be like, oh, I don't really want to. But yeah, you got to have both. And you have to be consistent too. Yeah.
So you mentioned that your finances are a bit of a wreck.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this.
I'm just like not the best with money.
How so? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. It's just like, I just give away a lot of money.
Why?
I just have a lot of people in my life that I pay.
Do you just give them money or in exchange of service?
Employees or like?
Yeah, I have employees. I have kids basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah.
Give your kids a lot of money?
My son has my Postmates somehow on his phone.
That is dangerous.
Oh, I learned the other day that he's had my credit card for a while. And I was like, oh. Right.
You didn't notice the charges?
You look at your statements?
I would notice it if it was higher than I expected.
Yeah, I don't look at each.
We order from the same places, so I wouldn't even.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah, I should watch that. But yeah, finances suck. I hate money. Money's like so, I hate it.
Is it? Why?
I don't know. Because it's just like, when you have it, you just want to like give it to everybody. And then when you don't have it, you're like, man, I wish I had more money. You know what I mean? So it just kind of comes and goes. And then like YouTube is, things are going good now, but it definitely like goes up and down. And it's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think you spend the most amount of money?
My mortgage.
Okay.
I guess.
You got a nice place.
It's okay. It has a nice view, but it's very small. And I think the market's gone down. I think it's.
When did you buy it?
2019.
Oh, you bought it at a good time.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, what interest rate?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have no idea.
30-year mortgage? You don't?
Yeah, something like that. I really don't know.
Do you have someone that takes care of your finances, like a financial planner, manager?
My 14-year-old daughter looks at. No, I don't know. I have somebody in New York that does it, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but I don't like to get on the phone with them because I don't like to hear about it.
Really?
Yeah,
why do you avoid it? What if it's good news? What if it's like, hey, your investment's done like really...
I know it's not good news.
No.
Right now, it's not good news, right? The markets are shit.
They're down about 20%.
As long as you're steadily investing, you'll be fine. Yeah.
So put more money in?
It's just every month, just a little bit.
Put a little in every month?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been doing that.
Really?
I just stopped.
Just wait, call them and tell them to do that.
Well, I put a bunch of money in, and then everything went down, and I was like, all right.
Okay, I did the same.
I'm fucking not doing that again.
Do you know what you invested in?
No.
You don't know?
Well,
they do it.
It's like Morgan Stanley or something.
Okay.
Yeah, they do it.
Okay, and you tell them, like, here's my risk tolerance, here's what like my goal is.
No, I haven't talked about that. Can we call them now?
Yeah.
No.
I should call Alma right now.
You should probably get on a call with them and
just
ask, like,
out.
Hey, how are these investments doing? What are you invested in?
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
Because I know I've lost so much already. It'll just bum me out.
Blissful ignorance.
Maybe there's a way that they could just like tell you without like giving
you can't
bad
take
news,
it with you,
like,
Graham. You know what I mean?
You can, though. If you're going to 50 states, you got 50 states to take it
No,
to.
I mean, when you die, you can't.
But that's not for a very long time.
Are you going to be buried with your money? I mean,
that might be kind of cool. Just cash out of everything.
How much money do you think Mr. Beast has?
Oh, gosh.
Has? Or like, because he spends a lot, right?
I've heard he has very little money in his personal bank account because he doesn't spend anything. Like, he spends very little. Anything he spends is just for YouTube
videos.
That
doesn't make sense. He has no money in his personal bank account because he doesn't spend anything.
Correct. But everything's spent for the videos. Like, I'm separating personal from business.
Oh, right,
like,
right.
If we're talking about just him.
So he's had it all in the company.
Pretty much everything in the company. And it truly seems like he doesn't spend money on anything that's not related to YouTube.
If he cashed out of everything, though, sold his channel, sold all of his businesses, I bet you he could probably get like $1 billion.
A bill?
Probably.
I think he probably could.
Yeah. Wow. A bill.
That's sick.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do anything outside of making the videos, right?
He's a chocolate.
Feastables. Feastable. He does a ton of stuff, man.
Oh, he does chocolate.
Merch. He's got.
Of course he does. What am I saying?
Yeah.
Beast Burger.
The apps.
Are all those profitable?
Yeah. I believe, the main channel. I've heard the main channel is the loss leader that gets people in, does not make money. He makes money on the gaming and the reacts videos.
Okay.
And then he gives away a lot on the philanthropy channel.
Uh-huh.
I think the philanthropy channel is net zero, right?
Is this? Do you guys do like Spanish language channel on your YouTube?
No.
You don't do that yet? Someone called me about that.
You don't do it, do you?
Yeah, no, I don't do it. They called me and they were like all set to go. And then they were like, okay, it's going to cost you $20,000. I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I thought you were going to do it for free.
You should be like 20,000 pesos?
Yeah.
So like,
and split the revenue. But I'm always trying to think of ways to make money.
Right. That's good.
I haven't thought of anything.
Hmm. Mr. Beast makes a decent amount from his different language channels.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. But I think you really got it like for his content. So perfect for it. Like Arak would be another one because you could watch that in any language.
Yeah.
Get the joke and the humor and like the challenge.
Yeah.
I feel like with our content, it's very US English speaking oriented that like other cultures might not be able to pick up on.
I love Instagram sketches that can play in any country.
Yeah.
Like Adam W. does a lot of cool sketches and is like, oh, this is funny no matter where you are.
Right.
That's why people say really cool. Cobby Lame got so popular is because it's
exactly.
It's interesting too because Mr. Beast combined, like he had all the different language channels.
Yeah.
And I heard he combined them all back into his main channel. And now you could dub videos, like one video could appear in multiple languages dubbed depending on where it's shown. So you don't need multiple channels anymore. Which seems odd to me that they would be able to like, the YouTube algorithm would be able to separate like this person is in Mexico watching this Mr. Beast video. It's going to be dubbed automatically and we're going to show them like a different thumbnail. Like, I don't know how that works.
So like the video goes out and if I'm in Mexico, it's in Spanish already.
Yeah, like you know on Netflix, when you click a video, you can choose which language you want it to play in.
Yeah.
Same thing with a Mr. Beast video now.
Oh, so there's no need to have a different channel.
No.
Oh, so you don't make as much money.
He would just, instead of it being on different channels, it would all go to his one channel.
Oh, got it.
Right. I don't know how the algorithm's able to like differentiate between that though. Like where someone is based, what language they're watching. Maybe they'd prefer to watch an English video versus like Portuguese or.
I want to know your motivation behind starting the new podcast. What's the reason behind that?
Well, I really like podcasting. I think it's really fun. And, Views was done. So I was like, okay, I'll start my own podcast. Just try it out. See if I like it. Yeah. I like it. I think it's good. I mean, it's, I like doing Views better. It was like more fun and easier, but I like doing it myself. Getting guests is tough.
Yeah. That's the hardest part for us as well.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make it more like Views now with just more friends and stuff. Cause that seems to be what people like anyway.
What was your hard part about getting guests? Cause I would imagine you could reach out to anybody and say, hey, do you want to come on? They'd be like, yeah.
I mean, like just scheduling and stuff. Like we've had like really big guests cancel and like, and we've gotten some big ones. Like we got like Phineas to come on. We got Danny DeVito. We got Julie Bowen. We got Dane Cook did it. TJ Miller. You know, it's fun. It's great to talk to like really interesting people. Like it's really fun. And then it's also fun just to have your friends on and like talk about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm trying to make it more like Views now where it's like more just my friends because that seems to be what people really like on the channel. It's interesting when you have like Danny DeVito on and then like your episode with your buddy Todd like does better than the Danny DeVito episode. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay.
It's weird how sometimes it works that way.
Yeah.
Because Danny DeVito I'd be interested in, but the YouTube audience is probably more interested in you guys than Danny DeVito.
Right.
Even though it's Danny DeVito.
I mean, David said that to me too when I started the podcast. I was like, I was flying to see Nikki Glaser in St. Louis to podcast with her because she lives there. And he's like, I don't know if your audience is going to, you know, like want to hear Nikki Glaser or whatever. And I was like, no, I know, but I have to try to do something different, you know, then we went, Nikki was great. And then that episode did pretty good, but then you go and you like interview David's assistant, and that does just as good, if not better. It actually does way better.
Honestly, part of me is beginning to realize it's a very YouTube centered audience, and if you don't focus to like what people want in that platform, they're not going to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. But then you know you also have to do what you like.
Yeah.
And the chance to talk to Danny DeVito is incredible.
Oh yeah, no, I would do that.
And so that came in. And it was like he needed to do it the next day. So we went down there and we did it. And it was awesome. Like when you talk to people who are like that high level, it's so freaking eye opening and it's so inspiring. Like, you know, to talk to Phineas and to understand like how he wrote Bad Guy and to know, like, I don't know. I just love all that stuff. I love talking to people. I love learning. And so, yeah, I find that stuff really interesting.
What did you learn about Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito.
I love Matilda, by the way. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Did you see that?
I learned that.
I saw Matilda. Was he in it?
Yeah, he was the father in Matilda.
Oh, what? Yeah. That was him?
Yes.
Oh.
I learned that this is a guy who was an actor in New York, just kind of like kicking around, got in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which was like a really big movie in the 70s, and then he got Taxi. And Taxi was... You know, back then there was no cable shows. That was like, that was in 40 million homes. I mean, that was like Mr. Beast, you know, every week. And he's just like, from there, was just became this massive, massive star and like a comedy expert, you know, somebody that's just like, if you watch him on Sunny, like just so hits the beats, like knows how to, he knows how to like play like an edgy guy. You know, he has like an edge about him. And he's just like a master. Just to talk to him and on that level, to somebody who knows about comedy like that, it's like the best way to spend your day.
Yeah,
you know, learn something from him.
I think for me, Jack Black would be that person. Well,
would be a great.
I
would. Guess.
Yeah, I think I've reached out to him on Instagram like 3 times.
Yeah, he's a master. He's a freaking. Have you ever watched Tenacious D?
Yes. He's very talented.
You ever seen him live?
No, I've never seen him live.
It's like a religious experience. Yeah. It's like so good. Yeah. And his voice is really good.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented.
Yeah, I don't see him on too many podcasts.
No, and I was so excited when he made his YouTube channel.
Yeah, he makes some really good content.
It's funny, and I love the vlogs of just like with him and his kids.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that. Yeah. And he just stopped posting.
Yeah. He made a really funny skateboard video where he just goes around giving people skateboards. It's on his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he also plays video games too, right?
Jablinski Games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's killing it.
I would love to.
He doesn't
him
need
on,
to
yeah.
come to a podcast.
No,
he's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, maybe one day for the iced coffee hour,
Jack.
I'm not gonna give up hope yet.
Put some music under this, Jack. Come see Graham. Do his podcast. Come on,
please,
please. He DM'd you 3 times. A fourth time, that's gonna be embarrassing for all of us. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah,
for the kids.
I want to also talk about relationship advice with you. Because you...
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole new thing on relationships.
Oh, cool.
I would love to hear about it.
I got it. I finally figured it out.
You did?
It took me 49 years. I figured it out.
What'd you figure out?
You gotta... If you're in a relationship, you gotta just be on top of it. In every minute, in every way. You gotta, like, provide support. Say yes to everything, never say no, and build a fairy tale land.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, because when I was married before, I used to like argue with my ex-wife. I'd be like, I don't want to do that. And then you're dead right there. You're done.
What if you don't want to do it though?
Well, then you don't be with that person.
So you're saying like find someone with similar values and interests?
You got to find somebody exactly like you. This opposites attract shit.
You don't believe in it?
It's bullshit. Opposites attract? It's so stupid. Two opposite people together? Of course they're going to fight.
I think the advantage, though, is you get a dynamic of like, you know, one person.
Of like moving forward. You know, you have someone that disagrees with you.
Oh, no, it's the worst. You want to disagree all the time? That's terrible.
Maybe to provide a different perspective on things.
No, you want somebody going, you're right, this is great. I'm telling you, that's the secret.
You really think that's the secret?
Yeah, I just figured it out. I met my fiance in July. I got engaged in December. We're the same person. We agree on everything. She says, you want to do something? I say yes. That's it. There's never any... Oh, also, this is super key. Don't this is going to sound really corny and kind of like some anti, this is going to sound, I don't know, however it sounds, I don't care.
Sure.
You got to watch your language. And I don't mean like swear words. You got to watch how you say things. It's super, super important. Even when like you talk about yourself, maybe you say like, oh, the podcast with Graham wasn't good. Like, I wasn't funny or stuff like that. Don't say that shit. Don't even say it out loud. Just be positive. Just be like, she goes, how was the podcast? It was great. That's it. Like, just be super positive all the time. Like, or even like when you're like phrasing things to the woman, like, be careful how you say things. Like, phrase it in the right way. Like, trying to think of an example. Like, I don't have a great example, but like, I don't want to go there. Like, don't say that. Be like, oh, maybe like tomorrow would be a better.
That is the secret.
You know what I'm thinking, babe? That's a great one. You know what I'm thinking, babe? And also, like, mirror them. Like, be like, say nice things. Be like, babe, I was thinking about what you said. That's killer. That's killer right away. Anyone loves to hear that.
Yeah.
Either sex. Hey, I was thinking about what you said the other day about this and X, Y, and Z. And maybe tomorrow is a better day to go rug shopping. What do you think? Like that. Rather than like, I don't want to go fucking rug shopping today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like saying this to be funny. I'm saying it because I actually just learned it. And I'm embarrassed that I learned it so late in life. But you go out to a bar with a woman. Like, guys don't know this shit. They're so stupid. You go out to a bar with your woman. You fucking take care of your woman. Babe, what do you want to drink? Do you do that?
Do I do that? I don't really go out to bars with girls.
But you don't have a girlfriend or anything?
No.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, do you do that?
Fiance.
Do you do that?
No. Sometimes. It depends. What it is. We never go to the bar anyway. It's rare. It's rare for the bar. Right, and right. if we do go to the bar, it's always the sit down sort of place where a server comes, like, what would you like?
But the point is that you gotta be constantly outputting. Mm. Same way you're outputting this podcast, you gotta constantly be like, little things. Babe, I picked up peanut M&Ms for you today because I know that you love peanut M&Ms. You know, whatever it is. Like,
she's allergic to peanuts.
Oh shit. We just
killed her. I'm kidding. No, I just say that.
I don't know. That's what I think is the key. You have to keep it.
It feels like that's too agreeable.
Yeah, I mean,
where's the friction? I feel like there's gotta be
I disagree with that. There doesn't have to be friction, but you also just can't like be a yes. Like, you gotta be real with them. Like, if they want to go rug shopping and you're like the anti-rug shopper, you just gotta say, like, you know what? I've had bad experiences in the past. I don't want to go rug shopping. I'm sorry, go with a friend.
You say, how about this, babe? Tomorrow you should go rug shopping.
No.
Because you got such a good eye.
Well, then I feel like, I guess for me, maybe this advice isn't great because this advice only works for me because I love to be with her no matter what. Mm. Even though I may not want to go rug shopping, I'm going to be with her and she'll make it fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so that's how I look at things. Maybe don't take this advice, but I'm telling you, you can just skip through a lot of problems if you're just agreeable. That's what I think. I don't like friction because the problem with friction is like she says this and you say this and now you're like maybe kind of joking, but then someone says something else and then someone's feelings are hurt and now you're not joking anymore.
Yeah, right.
And now you're fighting and then you're like, what happened? Like, I thought we were joking. So I don't even do that. I don't even joke. I don't even make jokes. I just go like, because I do think she's wonderful. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe what a princess I have today. I mean, are you kidding? I've never seen somebody so gorgeous. Because I do believe that.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe my advice doesn't work for everybody, but find somebody that you're that crazy about.
How did you guys meet?
A dating app.
Okay.
Yeah. What dating app?
Oh, she's going to kill me for saying that. I don't think she likes that.
What app was it?
Sorry, babe.
She jacks on all of them.
Well, I don't think that's a big deal to meet on a dating app.
I don't think it's a big deal.
What's
a
big deal?
No, I don't see no problem with it at
no,
all.
No, I know, but I mean, some people have like a stigma.
I used to be one of those guys. Like, I'm not going to meet my girl on a dating app. But like, I've since abandoned that. I'm just like, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, you're sitting on your couch. You met the love of your life. You know, of course, you have to go on 100 dates of horribleness.
What was the intro on the app? Did you say the first message? Do you remember like what that first message was?
No, I don't know what I said. Yeah. I don't have the app anymore. This is a long time ago. Sure. This is like 2 years ago.
Okay.
But then we weren't like together for the last 2 years. She moved. But then she came back into town and now we're together. And I probably just said something really terrible. I'm terrible at texting. That was the other thing that I learned is that I'm just like really bad.
So is Jack. Jack is awful at texting.
What's up?
Yeah.
How are you?
But not only that, but Jack will go like a week or two and just stop responding and then hit them back up like 3 weeks later out of the blue. Like, hey, what are you up to? But it'll be that long silence of just like nothing happens. And then like, you know, you're busy.
Things come up and you can't always be super attentive to it. I feel like
it's so hard. It's so hard to figure out if you're going to waste time on this person.
Yeah. So your solution is just to be agreeable, to do what they want, to always be pleasing them, to treat them like a goddess.
Yeah.
Basically.
Now, as long as they're treating you well.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I'm getting a ton in return. Mm-hmm. I'm getting, you know, really thoughtful stuff coming my way too.
So it's just as simple as that.
Hey babe, I made you a salad. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I think there's something to be said about being more positive.
Yes.
I could definitely be a stick in the mud sometimes. If I don't want to do something, yes. I'm just like, you see it. You see it on my face. You feel it.
You feel it. Emanates into the room.
Yeah. Everyone in the room just can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about her is that she won't allow any kind of negativity. She just won't allow it. She has this thing called the meaning report, and she keeps it in her phone. And if I do something that's sort of mean, she will write me up.
She'll write me up in the meaning report.
What does that mean?
Well, like the other day we were driving, and I got like really mad because this woman like cut me off, and like my windows were up. But I said the B word, you know. I was like, oh my God, that's stupid bitch like that. She was just like, she pulled out her phone and she's like, oh my God. She's like, I hate to do this, but I'm putting you on the meeting report. So she wrote it out, the time and everything. And then I begged her to take me off the meeting report and she would not. And that goes right to my mom.
It goes to your mom?
She texts your mom?
The meeting report will go to my mom. Yeah, yeah. So it'll say,
what is your mom
February 22nd, 2022, Jason called someone the B word.
It sounds like that could be taken out of context so much. Like Jason just called this lady the B word.
The windows were rolled up. And she was acting, she was driving horribly.
She was being a...
She was. So yeah, sometimes I can be mean.
Do you keep a meaning report back? And text her dad.
Well, I told her, hey, I was going to have an annoying report. Because when she annoys me, she said it wasn't allowed. No, I don't know. I'm embellishing. She only did that once. That was the other day. She made a meaning report. And she didn't send it to my mom. But she did threaten to send it if I do it again. Yeah.
I think that's really nice. I'm a huge fan of just positive.
You got to be positive.
Like, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
The thing about Graham is, you know, he can sometimes be a little bit of a negative person. One thing I realized, I had this like aha moment. We were driving yesterday and Graham was, what did you say? You're like, oh, this traffic is horrendous.
Yeah, horrible.
Or something like that. And I'm like,
I said it was going to be a nightmare or it was going to be impossible to cross Fairfax at rush hour traffic at 5 p.m.
So
I made a turn
that would inevitably make us cross Fairfax. Uh-huh. And Graham was like, oh, it's going to be a night. It's going to be impossible to cross Fairfax at this time.
Because it was right before the light at Melrose. So you're getting all the backup of cars right now.
And I look at Graham and I'm just like, impossible? Like, what do you think I am? It's not impossible to cross Fairfax. Like, this word is just so
really
aggressive.
Funny.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I realized because my brother does the same thing. My mom always gets mad at him because he says, like, oh, I went to go get a taco at the taco shack. I had to wait in line. It was miserable. And my mom's like, you were miserable. Really? Were you actually miserable?
Yeah.
And that's the thing Graham does. He just uses, like, the most aggressive words in certain. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Choose your words.
Like, oh, this weather is so depressing. It's not depressing.
Yes.
It's just rainy and you may not like it. You know what I mean?
I like this weather though.
So, I like this weather too.
You were just telling me you hated the rain. Literally, he walks in here and the first
I'm
thing he says,
camera equipment.
The first thing he said was like, I hate this rain.
No, I said it was horrible.
Oh,
I said
okay.
It was horrible, but it was only because I'm carrying camera equipment from the car into the house.
Oh, this rain is horrible.
And it was getting wet. Everything's getting
wet. I don't
know.
I was loving it. Like, even my drive over here, I was super scary because the visibility was nearly... Like, I was driving from Ventura, and that whole 101 is just really sketchy.
Yeah.
I was loving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You turn a negative situation into a positive one.
Words.
Or just don't use such gnarly
aggressive
words.
It's aggressive words. Like, this
that's
is
exactly what
this
I mean. Like,
impossible.
That exact example of, like, choosing your words. Yeah. It's like... It, just for yourself.
Yeah.
Never mind him. Obviously, it'd be great for him if you don't use those words. But even for yourself,
yeah,
just
no,
so like
I agree.
Like I had a video I posted yesterday, and like it's not doing great, but it's just like someone asked me how it's doing, and I go, that's great.
Really? rather than living in like a fairy tale,
rather than going like it's doing fine, but rather being like, oh, it's not that good.
Yeah.
Could have been better. No. That.
Yeah, I would have said like it was horrendous.
Yeah,
it was a disaster. Yeah.
Graham posts a video, it does poorly. He's like, oh, I feel horrible right now. My day is ruined right now. And I'm just like sitting next to him.
Like,
I'm like,
disappointment is immeasurable.
Yeah. And my day is, I was like, I was having a great day. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, let's bring the vibe up a little bit. Let's have a good time.
I'm prone to it too. Like, I'll be driving in traffic with my fiance, and I'll be like, God, I hate this traffic. And she'll go, I like it. She goes, it's more time we get to spend together.
Lovely.
Like that, you know? And you're just like...
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of want to punch her in the face, but... No, I'm just kidding.
Pull the car over.
But no, but that it's really nice. And that's why all my friends love her so much, because she's just like...
That's good.
She's just so positive and
You know what the funny part was? He said that once we made that turn to pull off, and like I said, eventually we were going to have to cross Fairfax. We made the turn to cross Fairfax, and there was a light. There was a light. I didn't even have to wait for the traffic.
Nope.
Like, it was just the light hit red for them. And
really?
We just cruised across. Yeah, and I look at them with the smuggest little smile.
I'm telling you, that stuff works. Manifesting stuff or trying. Yeah. We were going to see, my mom flew out to go to the 80 for Brady premiere, which is like a Tom Brady movie. Mm. And we really, really wanted her to meet Tom Brady. Like, that's her idol. My mom's like 80 years old. Mm. And we were in the car on the way over, and I just said to everybody, I was just like, okay. I was like, let's just put positive vibes out. We're gonna meet Tom Brady. And everybody in the car was like, we're gonna meet Tom Brady, we're gonna meet Tom Brady, we're gonna meet Tom Brady. We just kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And then it happened.
And you met Tom Brady.
How'd that happen?
We waited. We waited for 2 hours.
Well, yeah, you're gonna be Tom.
No, we waited for about 45 minutes. Yeah. But it was really fun to wait.
Like, we paid $5,000 a ticket.
I paid $25,000. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's really important to like you gotta be positive. You gotta just remember that's all you have, you know.
That's awesome.
And in manifesting stuff, I think there is something to it. Like things, like I did this thing with Harry Jowsey like about a year ago, and all the things we wrote down came true.
What did you write down?
I wrote down, I want my ideal, I want to get in shape. I wrote down, I want to meet the love of my life. I wrote down, and those two things happened. I wrote down, I want to meet Dave Chappelle. Mm. I want to have dinner with Dave Chappelle.
And did you do that?
No, but 2 days later, I met Jim Carrey.
That's
really cool.
Like, just randomly. And I talked to him.
Randomly?
We were standing on the red carpet for Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And this car pulls up, and Jim Carrey gets out of the car. And we're like, oh, shit, that's Jim Carrey. And then he just, like, locks eyes with us. And he just walks, like, right over to us. And he's just like, hi, I'm Jim. It was just, like, weird.
How cool was that?
So cool.
I love Jim Carrey.
And so I don't know. I just believe it. I just believe that it's, even if it's like not true, it still puts you in the right, it puts you in the game.
Yeah.
You know? Puts you in the game for good things to happen.
That is, that's
people
awesome.
People love positive people. Nobody wants to be around like negativity and nobody needs it. They got their own shit they're dealing with. Smile and move on.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Well,
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Nope.
No. Cool.
Nope.
Well, thank you so much.
Come on, Jason. Really appreciate it.
Go watch my podcast.
All right.
All good things. Go check out my YouTube channel. What else?
It'll all be linked down below in the description.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Sweet.
Until next time, guys.